Certainly it's good to be here. Certainly it's good to see each and everyone here. Appreciate everyone being here. Good singing that we had. Maybe the preaching won't be a disappointment. Tonight, I'd like to take a little of your time, and you can turn there if you'd like to Isaiah chapter 44 and 45. Lay down a little bit of background information. This is a forecast of Israel's return from the captivity under Cyrus, with special emphasis on God's unique power to predict the future. Cyrus, king of Persia, he reigned from 538 to 529 B.C. He permitted the Jews to return to Jerusalem and issued a decree authorizing the rebuilding of the temple. You know, a lot of people, and I hear them say it in this day and time, is that, things can't be over with because the temple's got to be rebuilt, you know. Well, these passages right here, way back there, this is being prophesied, of course. As a matter of fact, Isaiah prophesied between 745 and 695 B.C. over 150 years before the days of Cyrus, king of Persia. Yet he called him by name, and he predicted that he would rebuild the temple, and with which in Isaiah's days had not yet fallen. You ever think about that? Well, I guess they thought he was crazy then, didn't they? If it's prophesied 150 years that this man Cyrus, king of Persia, will be the one who authorized the rebuilding of the temple for the Jews, and the children of Israel, rather, from their captivity. So the point isn't much through these passages right here is that, and it still is that same thing, God knows everything. He's not right sometimes and wrong other times. You know, there's people who claim to know things today, aren't they? There are people who claim they know the future, right? But the problem is it don't turn out just exactly like they said it'd be, right? But with God here, what he says will be done, and he knows what the future is, and he shows, you know. I hear some of them that they hold in high esteem, and they talk about, you have to twist it around, a few words or a few letters were wrong in a person's name to make it this person or make it that person, and all these things that, you know, you kind of look back over history and the way it repeats itself. That's not the way it is with God. God spoke it through Isaiah right here, way before it ever even was to be brought about, and told exactly how it would be and who would do it. And it came to pass exactly that way. Ain't that pretty awesome now? That's the kind of God that we serve, right? That is who our God is. Almighty God, he is there. It talked about Isaiah here. He liked to dispute, and he even liked to taunt them a little bit, the ones who worshiped idols in this day and time. And you can see this as we go through the messages. God reiterates all through it that he is the God of salvation. He is the only God there is. There's no other besides him. There is no other rock like him. And it's the same today. You know, people want to dispute about the Bible and say this is wrong and that's wrong, and they want to go to the very foundation of our beliefs and challenge. Well, I tell you what, we should be saying, bring it on, okay? Because we have the facts. We have the truth. You know, that is one good thing about this day of technology that we have, is if you want to know what the truth is, you can find it. There's plenty of evidence, and it's readily available to know exactly if what you're reading in this Bible, so which we as Christians, we believe it is anyway, but it's those other people that we need to convince about it, see? That's pretty awesome the way that he talked about it. He said, here's some of the things that he said. He said, the gods that you serve, the idol gods, he said, they can't even do what men can do. He said, they can't hear. They can't see. They can't even do the physical things. That was part of his argument with them, you know, Isaiah, in what his attitude toward them. But he said, yet this God that we serve, the God Almighty of the Hebrews, you know what? He sees. He hears, and he does things that men do. And yet beyond that, he even does things that man can't even do. See, this is one example here, how he speaks through a man, another person, a prophet, and that it is exactly so, and it comes true exactly that way. You know, you think about Jesus, and you think about, you know, when he walked by the temple and he looked at it, he said, I'll destroy the temple and I'll build it back in 3 days. And you know how they said, Well, it took so many years to build it. I don't even know what the number of years is to build this thing. And you say you're going to tear it down in 3 days and build it again. And the scripture says he's talking about his body. But I'm sure they thought he was about as crazy as Isaiah was, prophesying this is going to happen and it's going to be rebuilt when it hadn't even fallen in the first place. But it came true. Exactly like he said. Ain't that pretty awesome? I think it is. It just builds my faith and makes me know what kind of God I serve and who he is and what he has done. But I can't imagine, just put all logic into it, why people would serve things that they make, rocks and wood and carved image and gold and silver, things that they make don't make any sense. Those things can't do anything for you. I need a God that can meet all my needs, don't you? I need a God that can deliver for me, don't you? If it don't, I mean, I just well off worshiping a rock, I guess, right? But I can't be all right with that. But obviously some people can. Ain't that weird? You know, you see how all through the history they fashioned, and it's going to talk about in here how that they fashioned one into the figure of a man. It's going to say in verse 13 there of chapter 44. But, you know, you can see all through time how there are all different kinds of images that they worship. You know, I talked to you about that one I seen on the Discovery Channel where they was worshiping the ocean. Wow, ocean is an awesome thing. But why don't look on a little bit past that and say, well, who controls that ocean? Who's the one that tells that ocean how far it can go and how it's going to work together and everything's going to work in harmony, that perfect cycle of life? Man, I'd rather worship him, hadn't you? Absolutely. Don't stop short of realizing this is a wonderful creation he's made. But don't miss the whole boat there and be worshiping the things that's created versus the Creator, right? You know, that's part of the problems there in Romans chapter 1, wasn't it? They knew him, and they chose not to retain him in their knowledge, but they worshiped the creation rather than the Creator. They didn't term God as who he is and what he is, but he absolutely is. Let's get into the text a little bit. We'll read some. It says, "Yet hear me now, O Jacob my servant, and Israel whom I have chosen. Thus says the Lord who made you, and whom formed you from the womb, who will help you. Fear not, O Jacob my servant. And you, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen, I will pour water on him who is thirsty, and floods on the dry ground. I will pour my spirit on your descendants, and my blessings on your offspring, and they will spring up among the grass, like willows by the watercourses. One will say, I am the Lord's. Another will call himself by the name of Jacob. Another will write with his hand, the Lord's, as it in italics, and the name himself by the name of Israel. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and I am the last. Besides me, there is no God." You know, some people want to worship Buddha and Muhammad and all these other false gods. That's what all of them are, okay? They're false gods. They're not gods. There's only one God. There's Jehovah God, the God of the Hebrews, of Esau, Isaac, and Jacob. Amen. That's the same one we serve today. And it ain't Allah neither. That's not the same one. That's a false god. And they say, oh, it's equal. No, it's not equal. There's no one equal to the God we serve. No one. No one can stand. And no one is him. And it's not, you know, we fought all kinds of lies of the devil. And we believe half-truths and all these things. That's exactly how the devil works. We need to be about the truth. And we need to be, no, we're standing on the truth, steadfast and firm. And if you're getting it from right here, you are. There's no way you can go wrong. He's given us everything, and we're thoroughly furnished unto all good works. We don't need no more than this book right here to know, because it has it all in there. We might need some help in digging it out every now and again, but the fact of the matter is it's here. If we've got enough and want to understand and put the effort into understanding, we can. Let's go on. It says, "And who can proclaim as I do? Then let him declare it and set it in order for me, since I appointed the ancient people and the things that are coming and shall come. Let me show these to them. Do not fear nor be afraid. Have I not told you from that time and declared it? You are my witnesses. Is there a God besides me? Indeed, there is no other rock. I know not one." There's not another one.
There's not a firm, sure footing to be standing on besides Jehovah God and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son. If you're standing or putting your faith and trust in anything besides Him, you're going to fall. You're not going to be standing on that day. You're going to be like that foolish man that built his house upon the sand. And that's the truth. Let's go on. It says, those who make an image, all of them are useless. Puts it all into perspective, don't it? Same thing that I said, right? Why would you worship something that, you know, it's just a rock, or it's a piece of wood, or it's a piece of gold or silver or a tree? Yeah, sure, it brings you the fruit, but why worship it? What can it really do? Nothing. Can it save your soul from hell? Absolutely not. Yeah, it might give you a little nourishment from your body, but realizing, where does that come from? The bountiful hand of Jehovah God, right? If it wasn't for Him, that tree wouldn't even bring no fruit. You'd starve to death. And their precious things shall not profit them. They are their own witnesses. They neither see nor know, that they may be ashamed. Who would form a god or mold an image that profit him? That profits him nothing. Surely all his companions would be ashamed, and all the workmen, they are mere men. Let them be gathered together. Let them stand up. Yet they shall fear. They shall be ashamed together. The blacksmith with the tongs works one in the coals, fashion it with the hammers. It works with the strength of his arm. Even so, he is hungry and his strength fails. He drinks no water and is faint. The craftsman stretched out his rule and he marks out with a chalk. He fashions it with a plane. He marks it out with a compass. He makes it like the figure of a man, according to the beauty of a man, that it may remain in the house. Well, you know what? Absolutely, man as a creation is one of the awesomest things you've ever seen. We don't compare to any other animal or anything. The way our hands work and move and our feet and our eyes, the way that we can see, the way that our brain works, and the way that some people have the gift of being able to sing so beautiful, and just all kinds of talents and gifts. We are made in the very image of God. That's why. It's a beautiful creation. But it's not something that you are to take and make some kind of image into and worship it. No, you should. It's just like, I use this example a lot, and you may have heard it. I wouldn't look out there at Dub's car and say, you know, nobody didn't make that car. One day, all them parts just came all together. You'd say, well, Darryl, you done lost your mind, wouldn't you? You'd say, you are a lunatic. You done gone crazy, right? But yet we look at the human being, we look at the creation and the universe, and we say, oh, it just went bang one day, and all these little bitty molecules hit together, and it become a person, and oh, it just adapted and evolved, and all that mess. Get a life. That's the stupidest. Don't insult my ignorance, you know, and I know I'm not the smartest guy you ever seen, but don't insult me in thinking that I'll believe some garbage like that, because it's not true. God Almighty created me and my kind from the dust of the earth. He breathed into it and it became a living soul. That's where I come from. I didn't evolve from no one-celled amoeba, and it didn't come out of a big pile of water, and it didn't take hundreds of millions of years. No, it happened just like God said it did in Genesis. That's where I come from. And that's the truth, see. That's not a lie. But see, you'd laugh me out of the house if I told you, and that car is not in no comparison, which it is a nice, wonderful thing to have, ain't it? Surely riding to church and all. But it's no comparison to the beauty and the excellence of God's creation, is it? Absolutely not. Now, why would anyone believe the garbage then, see? No, but you got a lot of people that are. That's the sad part of it. That's why we need to challenge it, because we have the truth, y'all. We have the Word of God right here. We can know and we can show that it is. Why aren't we afraid any time, any place to talk to anyone about anything? We should not be. Because this year we've got it. God made sure we had it. That we know. Not that we think or that we suppose or we're guessing about or we figure that's what happened or it's my opinion. No, God's Word said it. We know it to be true. We're sure and steadfast in it. That's why He's addressing. You think, well, Darryl, why are you preaching this sermon? This don't have nothing. We don't worship no idols. Well, man. We might not worship nothing like this right here, but we got all kinds of things we put before God, don't we? Woo, yeah. Mark down your priorities there again, right? Reorganize your priorities. But I think we worship money, don't you? I think we worship materialism, don't you? I think we worship our toys and all the things that intrigues us that we enjoy. And you know, there ain't nothing wrong with having those things neither in context. God just has to be number one in it. See? But yet we do. I think we worship sports in this country. Don't you? Look around. What big emphasis is that? I think we worship the things that we create. Our, all of the electronic and all the technology that we have and the information we can share. Wow. I wish that we could take that time away and give it all to God. That'd be awesome, wouldn't it? I like sitting and watch TV as good as anyone, too. But that's the facts of the matter, though, right? We need to reorganize our priorities and realize, hey, how much time do we truly waste? And I'm talking about, too. I said we, notice. I didn't say you. I said we. That means me, too. How much time do we waste on things that are totally vain, that don't amount to nothing? When we stand before the Lord, what difference is it going to make? How much time do we waste on things and such? Anything that don't profit the kingdom and help bring people to Him and the spreading of the gospel of Jesus and the growing of His body, His bride, and us ourselves working toward going to heaven is a waste. I don't know how to put it no plainer, no simpler. But I myself spend a lot of time on a lot of other things. And I guess that's why it's on my toes more than it is yours. I guess that's why you're getting the other part of it. But we need to be about the Father's business. We need to make Him where He belongs. You know, if an outright sinner could look at you and he'd say, if God ain't important to you, then why should He be important to me? If you hadn't helped God in that place of all that He belongs, and helped Him in the proper perspective, made Him number one in your life, and continually do every day, what makes you think that any sinner is on any part of you or your God you believe in? They're not. That's the truth of the matter. So we need to make sure that we're not the reason that it's not all happening, or we're not contributing to it anyways. It says in verse 14 there, He cuts down cedars for Himself. He takes the cypress and the oak. He secures it for Himself among the trees of the forest. He plants a pine and the rain nourishes it. Then it shall be for a man to burn, for he will take some of it and warm himself. He will kindle it and he will break bread. Indeed, he makes a god and he worships it. He makes it in it a carved image and he falls down to it. He burns half of it in the fire, and with his half he eats meat. He roasts a roast and is satisfied. He even warms himself and says, ah, I am warm. I have seen the fire. And the rest of it he makes into a god, his carved image. He falls down before it and he worships it and he prays to it and says, deliver me, for you're my God. Don't that sound like the most foolish thing you ever seen? But yet, in a way we do the same thing, don't we? If Jesus is here today, we probably wouldn't even let Him in the door, would we? That's the truth. That's the truth. And we think, how did they see? You know, and I thought this, how did they see all the miracles that He did and how He walked about and how He was and how He had this knowledge? And, you know, He said He ain't like the scribes and the Pharisees. He speaks as one having authority. You know, He raises people from the dead. You know, I read that passage about Lazarus there when He raised him from the dead, and it said that some of the Jews followed after Him no more. They quit believing. How could they see Him call Lazarus from the grave when he was dead for 4 days and he stank already, and they don't even follow Him no more? And I think, how could they do that? But yet, if we was there, we'd probably do the same thing. You know, I used to be mad at Adam and Eve when I was a kid and I didn't understand. I thought, what did they eat that fruit for? They messed it up for everybody. And then I realize now then that I mess it up every day too. See, I can't keep God's law perfectly neither. See, if it had been me there, I'd eat some of that fruit probably too. See, that's the thing. We're a fallen man. We can't keep God's law perfectly. We have to do the best that we can, and that's what we're required. And if we are, you know what? It'll be all right one day. But if we're not, it's not going to be all right. We might end up in that same boat, right? They do not know nor understand, for He has shut their eyes so that they cannot see, and their hearts so that they cannot understand. And no one considers in his heart, nor is there knowledge nor understanding to say, I have burned half of it in the fire. Yes, I also baked bread on its coals. I have roasted meat and eaten it. I shall make the rest of it an abomination. Shall I fall down before the block of wood? He feeds on ashes. A deceived heart has turned him aside. He cannot deliver his soul, nor say, is there not a lie in my right hand? Remember these, O Jacob and Israel. You are my servant. I have formed you. You are my servant, O Israel. You will not be forgotten by me. I have blotted out like a thick cloud your transgressions, and like a cloud your sins return to me, and I have redeemed you. Sing, O heavens, for the Lord hath done it. Shout, you lower parts of the earth. Break forth into singing, you mountains, O forests, and every tree in it. For the Lord has redeemed Jacob and glorified himself in Israel. Thus says the Lord your Redeemer, and he who formed you from the womb, I am the Lord, who makes all things, who stretches out the heavens all along, who spreads abroad the earth by myself, who frustrates the signs of the babblers and drives the diviners mad, who turns wise men backwards and make their knowledge foolishness, who confirms the word of his servant and performs the counsel of his messengers, who says to Jerusalem, ye shall be inhabited, and to the city of Judah, ye shall be built, and I will raise up her waste places, who says to the deep, be dry, and I will dry up your rivers, who says to Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and he shall perform all my pleasure, saying to Jerusalem, ye shall be built, and the temple, your foundation shall be laid. When God speaks something, it's so. It's a done deal. It's not about if it's going to happen or when it's going to happen or maybe it's going to happen. God's word is truth. It has power in it. It's what Paul says, it's the power of God unto salvation, right? Absolutely. It has power. It cannot be that God speaks something and it don't come to pass. It's so. You know, that's how you can tell some people today. They claim to be prophets of God and they speak things and then you see after the fact that they don't come true. Well, you know what? They're not true prophets of God. Because if they were speaking what God said, you know what? It would have to come true, wouldn't it? It's absolutely going to come to pass. Because God upholds and has the power to fulfill what he said will happen. And he knows what is going to. His infinite knowledge and his being deity as well. Let's get into chapter 45 a little. It says, thus says the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have held, to subdue nations before him, and to loose the armor of kings, to open for him the double doors, so that the gates will not be shut. I will go before you and make the crooked places straight, and I will break in pieces the gates of bronze and cut the bars of iron. I will give you treasures of darkness and hidden treasures of secret places, that you may know that I, the Lord, who called you by your name, I'm the God of Israel. For Jacob, my servant's sake, and Israel, my elect, I have called you by your name, and I have named you, though you have not known me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. There is no God besides me. I will gird you, though you have not known me, that they may know from the rising of the sun to the setting of the sun, that there is none beside me. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I formed the light and I created the darkness. I make peace and I create calamity. I, the Lord, do all these things. This is the God that we serve. This is the Creator. This is the one. And he's saying, I do these things so that these people will know who I am. You know, if you'll think when he delivered the children of Israel out of Egypt, what did he say? He did it with a strong and mighty hand, didn't he? And so the people would know and so that they would fear, they would realize who he really is. You know what? We need to have that same fear of God too. Because if we know what kind of God he really is, we don't want to be on the wrong side of his wrath, no doubt. It says, rain down, ye heavens from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness, and let the earth open up, let them bring forth salvation, and let righteousness spring up together. I, the Lord, have created it. Woe to him who strives with his maker. Let the potsherd strive with the potsherds of the earth. Shall the clay say to him who formed it, what are you making? Or shall your handiwork say, he has no hands? Woe to him who says to his father, what are you begetting? Or to the woman, what have you brought forth? Thus says the Lord, the Holy One of Israel and his Maker, ask me of things to come concerning my sons, and concerning the works of my hand, and you command me, and I have made the earth and created man on it. I, my hands, stretched out of the heavens, and all their host I have commanded. I have raised up him in righteousness, and I will direct all his ways, and he shall build my city, and let my exiles go free, not for a price nor reward, says the Lord of hosts. He will let them go, and he will let them go for free. It's not for a price. He will do all. His ways will be directed. All of them. God is in control. Thus says the Lord, the labor of Egypt and the merchandise of Cush and of the Sabaeans, men of stature shall come over to you and shall be yours. They shall walk behind you, and they shall come over in chains. They shall bow down to you. They will make supplication to you, saying, surely God is in you. And there is no other. There is no other God. Truly you are God, who hide yourself, O God of Israel, the Savior. They shall be ashamed and also disgraced, all of them. They shall go in confusion together, who are makers of idols. But Israel shall be saved by the Lord with an everlasting salvation. You shall not be ashamed or disgraced forever and ever. Thus says the Lord, who created the heavens, who is God, who formed the earth and made it, who has established it, who did not create it in vain, who formed it in to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is no other. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I did not say to the seed of Jacob, seek me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. Well, that's the way we should be too, ain't it? We should declare the things that are right. We should be speaking those things. We should know that God didn't do all this in vain either, that he did it and he had a purpose for it. He established it. He made it. He created it. It's not in vain. It's to accomplish the will of God. Said, assemble yourselves and come and draw near together. Do you who have escaped from the nations, they have no knowledge, who carry the wood in their carved image and to pray to a God that cannot save, and tell and bring forth your case. Yes, let them take counsel together, who has declared this from the ancient time, who has told it from that time. Have not I the Lord, and is there no other God besides me? A just God and a Savior, there is none besides me. Look to me and be saved, all ye the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other. I have sworn by myself. You remember that passage in the New Testament talks about when he could swear by no greater thing. He swore by himself. Man, that's the one I want to be banking on, ain't it you? Man, I want to put my trust in. There's something to back up that promise, right? No doubt about it. The word has gone out of my mouth and in righteousness, and shall not return, that to me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall take an oath. He shall say, surely in the Lord I have righteousness and strength. To him men shall come, and all shall be ashamed who are incensed against him, and the Lord and all the descendants of Israel shall be justified and shall glory. Well, this is the same God. This is the God that's a Redeemer. That's a Savior. That's the same one that we serve today, ain't it? It's amazing how many images from way back there are the same. He's the same God. There's no God beside him. His argument is that, you know, what about all these other gods? They can't save you. You know, plead your case. Plead your cause. From this commentary I read, it said that Isaiah called together a conference of nations and for a comparison of their gods to his gods and wanted asking questions about it. And he wondered too that if anyone there, he asked this question, is there anyone here that has literature and history written so that it shows in the whole world predictions from old time of the whole world unfolding with man's religion and history that compares to the one that's in the Bible? And there is none. He wanted to know, is there anybody else that compares to this God? That's the thing. And it's the same today. Is there any God that compares to this God? Absolutely not. Is there anyone that there's so much evidence that shows what has been spoken many years before has came true and exactly like it is, like it does with Jehovah God? Absolutely, there's not. That's the reason that those people should believe, and it's the same today. Everything else is just pieces and building your house upon the sand. You know, and it amazes me how many people put their trust in other people telling them things. Oh, this is going to happen. Oh, this is true. Oh, and what did it say? What did God say about the ones who, in verse 25 of chapter 44, who frustrates the signs of the babblers and drives the diviners mad and turns the wise men backwards and makes their knowledge foolishness? There's no source to draw truth from except from God. You know how we get it? From God's Word. Right here it is. We've got it written. We can know. We can be sure. We don't have to worry. We don't have to waste our time thinking. But you know what? We need to be more adamant about showing people other that. Here. Hey, here's what the truth is. Yes, there's only one God. There's only one true God. We need to be bold to stand up and pray in Jesus' name. So like I said this morning, that nobody might not ask you to pray again because all them people might get offended. You know what? But you did the right thing. That's what God wants. And on the other hand, they might say, hey, we want you to pray again because you stood up for what's right. Hey, Jesus, I'm sure He offended people, ain't you? I can read in the Word where I see He offended people, right? That little narrow path that He said is the one that leads to heaven, that one that He walked, that we're supposed to be following in His footsteps. We even sing songs about it, don't we? Yeah, that's one that excludes everyone else because there is only one way and because it is the absolute truth. But you know, that's the only way that people's lives gets fixed, and that's the only way they get on that path. Hey, I don't get on the right path in this little one single path right here. It's like the road. If I'm driving down a freeway and I'm going the wrong way and I'm not even going to get to where I'm. If you don't tell me that I'm on the wrong road, you know what? I'm going to end up over yonder somewhere, ain't I? If you say, hey, you need to be over here on this little pig trail over here that there are just a few people on, that little narrow one that's hard to get in at, that's what we've got to be more about. Preaching the truth, teaching the truth, living the truth, showing them in the Word of God. Here's what it is. I can't fix things in my life unless I know they're tore up, can I? I can't. You know, it applies to everything. And it's the same way. We need to be about Father's business. This is my message tonight. I hope it's been something to build your faith. You seeing that how that He spoke so mightily with Isaiah and how that He fulfilled. By the way, you can read all about it too, how that this was fulfilled. He spoke that this decree would happen. And it did happen too, because there were men who was willing to do what God wanted to accomplish that. You can read all about it in there that it has been. So anytime anybody says, oh wait man, the temple's got to be rebuilt for this can all be over. I had one fella say, you know, all this ain't been fulfilled yet. The Lord can't come back tomorrow. Well, I got another message for you. The Lord said precisely that He would come like a thief in the night. And that's like tomorrow or today, ain't it? He's going to come in an hour when you don't know, right? That's exactly His message. So I would dare not to say any such thing as that. And the message is yours. If you're subject to invitation, come as we sing the song that's been selected.